Torah, in the Parshas Bereishis, the Chumash tells us that when Hashem created everything in Sheishis Mei Bereishis, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day for the purpose of V'hoyu L'yosos U'lamo'adim U'liyamim U'lishanim, in order that people should determine days, years, and months. So the Talmud tells us that based on various Pesukim in Chumash, we derive the principle that the calendar that we have is a composite of a lunar and a solar calendar, that the moon is supposed to be used to determine the months, the lunar months. The sun is supposed to be used to determine the years. It's supposed to be a solar year. We always have a discrepancy. The solar year is 11 days, roughly speaking, 11 days longer than the lunar year. So you have to always have Chodesh Elul. Every 3-4 years, every couple of years, you have to have 13 months instead of having 12 months. What about the days? Which do you use to determine the days? So the Gemara draws a distinction between the Jewish people as opposed to the other nations of the world, that as far as the Jewish people are concerned, the moon is the Iker, and on the Jewish calendar, the day, like we always announce on the radio, the Yom Kippur and the Sabbath and the holidays always begin at nightfall. The day begins with the night, and Hayom Holech Achar HaLayla, the day follows the night. And as far as the Umas Olam are concerned, the halacha is just the reverse, that the Zman of every day begins really with the daytime, and HaLayla Holech Achar HaYom, and the night follows the day. The institution that we have today, that many nations of the world count the days from midnight to midnight, is against halacha. The Gemara says there is no such thing. That's not for the Jews, it's not for the non-Jews. The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, made the sun, the moon, and the stars for the purpose of determining the Zmanim, the Yomim, the Chadoshim, and the Shonim. So as far as Bnei Yisrael are concerned, we count by the moon every day. The day always beginning with the evening time when the moon is sholei and the moon is moshel, and the Umas Olam are supposed to count with the according to the sun. And the kochavim and the stars are supposed to determine when the beginning of Laila is. The halacha says that when you have tzeis ha-kochavim, so that is the beginning of Laila. In our calendar, that's the beginning of the next day. The day always begins with tzeis ha-kochavim. What does this symbolize? What does this signify? The fact that there is a discrepancy between the days as far as the Jewish nation are concerned as opposed to the days of the Umas Olam. We count to the moon and the nations of the world count to the sun. Their day begins with the daytime. So the commentaries point out that this perhaps indicates two things. First of all, the Torah tells us, Ki atem ha-ma'at mikol ha-amin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people because they are ma'atim atzman, they are humble. Other nations of the world are proud and arrogant and holding themselves, and the Jewish people is like the moon. We realize that our hashpah is not, we don't have anything original. Everything we have comes from our Kadosh Baruch Hu, who are son of Eloi Anachna. We are not self-made people. We don't believe that we have accomplished anything. Anything that we have is because our Kadosh Baruch Hu has given it to us. And we recognize the fact that we are mekablim. We are recipients of our Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashpah. So this brings the Jewish nation to a state of humility, and the Talmud tells us that the midos that symbolize the Jewish people are Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gam Chasanim, and this goes together with humility. And secondly, the Talmud points out, and we recite this in the bracha that we say every month when we see the new moon, the fact that the moon first starts off with a tiny sliver, and then it gets bigger, and then it gets tiny, and then it disappears, and then it gets large again. So this is representative and symbolic of the Jewish history, that every other nation has you can draw a chart of the history of any nation, the rise and fall of the nation. Derech HaTeva, the nation starts to grow, gets bigger, 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 then it decline sets in, and it sinks and it disappears. And the Jewish nation, if you were to draw a graph of the history of the Jewish people, it would be zigzag. It would go up and down and up and down and up and down. You say that you have when the Jewish people, and the Torah tells us why, when the Jewish people listen to the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they're up, and when they violate the Averis, then they're down. So the history of the Jewish people is always zigzag. So the Nusach HaBracha that the Chachamim composed for the Kiddush Levana is that the Jewish people are similar to the moon in the sense, that we also go up and down and up and down, and even if we happen to be in a state of decline now, we shouldn't think that that's going to be the end of the Jewish people. We will go up again. So this is the first, before you get to any dinim at all, the Torah tells us that the Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of the month. The Torah tells us that we are supposed to have lunar months, not supposed to have some October, November, December, in the middle of nowhere. Start the first of the month in the middle of nowhere. We are supposed to have months that are lunar months and a solar year and so on and so forth. We have a whole system. But aside from this, the institution of Rosh Chodesh being the beginning of the month, and when you write documents, you're supposed to write which day of the month it is in order to know when you got married, when you got divorced, when you sold your comments and so on. The Torah and the Talmud and the Shulchan Aruch point out that there are 11 particular halachas that apply on Rosh Chodesh, which I'd like to run through tonight briefly. The first, of course, is the most important, which is mentioned in the Torah in Parshas Pinchas, when the Torah lists off all of the additional korbanos that were offered in the Beis HaMikdash on special occasions. Every day of the year in the Holy Temple, two sacrifices were offered. There was a Talmud Shal Shachar in the morning, and a Talmud Shal Ben Arba Korban Oilo late in the afternoon before the sunset. And on Shabbosim, Yom Tovim, Rosh Chodeshim, and Chol HaMoed, and Yom Kippur, additional sacrifices were offered, and these are the korbanos HaMasot. So this, of course, is the most important thing that the Chodesh is known for, the special hakrovas, hakorbanos of the Musaf. In addition to the hakrovas, hakorbanos of the Musaf, in this man hazeh that we don't have any holy temple, we're unable to bring korbanos, so we daven tefillos HaMusaf. The Talmud points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, and he told the later prophets as well, that this man shein beis hamikdash kaim, when you don't have the holy temple, the Jewish people are told to recite the psukim of the korbanos and to speak about the korbanos, to learn the dinim of the korbanos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept that as if we had offered the korbanos. Uma quotes the pasuk in Hosea that reads in the Shalma Farim Svasen that we should pay up for the korbanos that we are obligated to bring with lip service by reciting the dinim of the korbanos. But it's interesting, the Gemara in Sukkim describing the celebrations that they had in the Holy Temple on Sukkot, the special celebrations that were known as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Gemara gives you the program, how they celebrated. They were up all day and all night, they hardly slept, and they were singing and dancing, and they had jugglers, and everybody was holding drashas and Yerushalayim, and it was all 7 days of Sukkot. So the Talmud quotes the whole brisa that describes the whole Seder HaYayim. So it's clearly stated that even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when they offered the Korbanos HaMusaf, and used to daven Musaf then too, and even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when they offered the Korban Talmud Shal Shachar and the Korban Talmud Shal Ben Avraham, they still daven Shachar then, and they daven Mincha then, and they daven Ma'ariv also. They daven four times a day on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed. And the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the nusach of the davening was different. They didn't ask the Sechazen, the Meinein, the Shulchan Letzion, the Rachman, Hamatz, and Shkenos, the Letzion. They didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Holy Temple and give us the opportunity to bring Korbanos. And Misham Na'ala B'nei Roi, we should be Ola Regal and bring Korbanos. The nusach was different. They davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should accept the Korban Talmud that was offered. He should accept the Korbanos HaMusaf. But it's clear from the Talmud, and the commentaries pointed out right on the side of the page, in the Gemara Sukkah, that the tfilos of Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and Ma'ariv were offered even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So these tefillos had an added feature to them, had an added aspect to them of the Shalma Farm Sosenu, that now that we're unable to bring the Korbanos, so the reciting of the Psukei HaMusafim, reciting of the Dinim of the Korbanos, will be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch as if we had offered these Korbanos. There is an interesting question in Shulchan Aruch regarding the obligation of women to daven tefillas musaf. The Mishnah says in Brachas that women are just as obligated as men to daven. To say Kriya Shema not, but to daven yes. It's the practice usually is just reversed. The women wake up, they say Shema, and Torah Tziva, and Moed Ani, or whatever, but they don't say Shema Nesu. So the Mishnah says just reversed. That Kriya Shema, the women are exempt from reciting. It doesn't mean that they don't have to be monotheists. They have to believe in Hashem Echad, but they don't have to state it every day. We'll take their word for it. They don't have to swear allegiance every day that Hashem Echad. But Shmon Esrei, they're obligated to daven. The simple pshat is they have to daven at least the shachris in Mincha. Ma'ariv, so the Chafetz Chaim chisels off a little bit and says, if they don't want to daven Ma'ariv, so we'll give them a break. And he gives the whole explanation. Why? Because even the men were never really obligated initially years ago to daven Ma'ariv. There was a dispute among the Tanoim, those who composed the Tfilos HaMa'ariv, those who instituted this Nusach HaTfilah, whether Ma'ariv is really obligatory, is it a Chayver, is it only Rishus, or LaHalacha, we passed that it's only Rishus, it's only optional, but it's a minig that we all recite Ma'ariv. So the women apparently never accepted this minig upon themselves. If they don't want to daven Ma'ariv, they don't have to. But really the proper thing is that they should recite the Shmon Esrei of Shacharis. They don't have to say Kriya Shema, they don't have to say the brachas before and after, but they should really say Psukah D'Zimro, Baal Shammah, and Psukah D'Zimro, and Yishtabach, and then they should say Shema Nesra. That's how it says in the Shulchanah. Then they should say Karbonis before that. Karbonis, the women are also mechuyif to say. That's how the Mishnah Berurah says, the women have to say Karbonis. And the Maharil even says that the women have to say Ezeil Mekayimah. That part of, at least that section of Ezeil Mekayimah about the Karbon Oilah, about the Karbon Tom, that's the union of the Karbonis of an Ishama Farns, so to say. The Mishnah says clearly that the women have to daven every day, they have to daven Shachris and Mincha. Why the women don't daven, so that's a problem. Why the practices of them daven, so they give Shverit Terutz and what. It's difficult, the Pashtus is the women should daven. So the question is though, it doesn't say explicitly what's the status of Musa. It doesn't say yes, it doesn't say no. Do the women have to daven Musa? So the later commentaries discuss this issue. And they came up with two reasons why they think that the women are exempt from davening Musaf, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim passes like that. The women, if they don't want to, they don't have to daven Musaf. If they want to volunteer, it's wonderful. If they want to say Krishna with the Brach, it's also wonderful. But if they don't want to daven Musaf, they're in such a big rush, they're so busy taking care of everything else, so the Mishnah Berurah passes, they don't have to daven Musaf. So he gives two reasons why. One reason makes a lot of good sense, and the other reason is highly questionable, a little bit wild. The first reason that makes a lot of sense is the more popular one that the Noda Yehuda writes in his commentary on Gemara Brachas in Etzlach, that really the Gemara raises the problem of why the women have to daven. After all, we have a principle that women are exempt from all the mitzvahs asei shazman groma. Whenever you have a mitzvah that has a particular time that it has to be fulfilled in, for example, shaking a lulav, blowing shofar, sitting in sukkah, wearing tefillin, wearing tzitzis, has to be fulfilled only by yom and not by laila. So any mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, women are exempt from, whether this is a biblical mitzvah or a rabbinical mitzvah. So the Talmud raises the question, so why do women have to daven? You can't daven whenever you want. There is specific zmanim when you have to daven shacharis, when you have to daven mincha. So why not label tefillah as a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, so women should be exempt? So the Talmud says yes, that's a good point. However, on the other hand, since the whole purpose of tefillah is rachmei, means bakoshas tzarachim, we're pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should give us our needs, He should take care of all of our necessities and our luxuries and more, whatever we want, whatever we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, so that it only makes sense that we should include the women in this obligation also. So the Noda Yehuda in his Sefer on Brachas and Etzlach points out that the only davening that's rachmei is shacharis, mincha, and ma'ariv, where you say we have the middle brachas of the Shmon Esri, in between the first three and the last three brachas, are all bakoshas tzarach. But when you recite the Tfilas HaMusafim, the Rishonim already point out, Tosis and other commentaries point out, that Musaf davening is not at all rachmeh, there's no bakoshas tzarachim. It's purely on the Shalma form, so saying, it's solely for the purpose of replacing the hakrovas hakarbonis. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, when they brought the karbonis, it wasn't for replacing the karbonis, but the daven to Hashem that he should accept the karbonis hamusaf. So since musaf is not a p'china of rachmei, and it really should have been a mitzvah sasei shazman groma that women are exempt, so Noda Yehuda says, so that's the way it remains. It remains that it's a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, so the women are exempt from musaf. They don't want to daven musaf, they don't have to say musaf. That's the reasonable explanation that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that Chafetz Chaim quotes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Then there is another sefer attributed to the Rosh, that is known as the Shagas HaTshuvos of the Rosh, called the Besamim Rosh. Somebody in the 1700s claimed that he found a manuscript from several hundred years earlier. A fellow lived in Germany. And many rabbonim gave him a haskama because they knew his father. They didn't know who he was. And the because they knew his father, so they assumed that father's a tzaddik, so the son is a tzaddik. So they gave a haskama to this Shabbos the Chuvus, and the Yehuda, and many other great giants gave haskama to the sefer, and he had the wildest bizarre things there in that sefer. And after many years, it was assumed that the whole sefer, from the beginning to the end, is a total forgery. So in this forgery, but he has brilliant ideas though, even if he forged it, he's not a genius. So he writes, he thinks that women are exempt from davening Musaf for a different reason. It's a reason from outer space. He says that where did they bring the karbonos hamisafim from? They had to collect matzis hashekel. All of the men had to donate matzis hashekel for the purpose of purchasing karbonos hamisafim, and the women didn't have to give matzis hashekel. So if the women didn't have to give shkolim, so they have no shaykhis with davening musaf. So that's why women are exempt from davening musaf. Adkan. It's an ingenious einfach. If a woman wants to give matzah shekel, but since she's not obligated to give matzah shekel, so you can't say that the woman is obligated to daven musaf. So later commentaries point out that according to his logic, it should come out a chiddush gadol as follows. The Mishnah says that a katan before bar mitzvah doesn't have to give matzah shekel. Only one who's a daven. But other commentaries on the Mishnah say that that's not what it means, a katan before bar mitzvah. It means a katan who's younger than the age 20. Because in the Chumash it says, "Zei yitnu kol ha'over al apkudim achtis ha'shekel v'shekel ha'kodesh," and it says, "Ben es rishon of amalok," the age of 20 young. And other commentaries say, no, that machtis ha'shekel in the Chumash, that's not talking about machtis ha'shekel that you purchased karbonos ha'tzivah for. That was a machtis ha'shekel for the purpose of building the Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the machtis ha'shekel, which is a mitzvah hanoheges ledoros, that every year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan on, is to collect the matzah shekel for the purpose of bringing karbonos tzibur, that applies to every boy who's first bar mitzvah and is not limited to those who are over the age of 20. So there are different minhagim. When you give the matzah shekel on Tainus Esther, on Purim, there are different minhagim. Some don't give for people under the age of 20, and some only don't give for people under the age of 13, and some even give for babies. Different minhagim what you do. So some of the commentaries point out, if this logic of the Besomim Rosh is correct, that women are exempt from davening musaf because they're exempt from shkolim, then we should say likewise that one man who's younger than the age of 20, if he doesn't want to daven musaf, he doesn't have to. That's a chiddush. So maybe it's so, but then it should come out, chiddush number two, that he can't be the chazik, he can't be the shlech tzibur, because whoever is not mechuyav b'davar can't be motzi the others idechay vasam. You can't have, let's say, a boy before bar mitzvah, you can't send up to be the shlech tzibur to daven for an onan. So even if a boy is bar mitzvah but he's younger than age 20, you should say that he shouldn't be able to be the chazan for musaf. It's not wild. Never heard of such a thing. How can it be? Or you should say that there was one opinion in the Tanoim that Kohanim didn't have to give matzah shekel. One opinion, Kohanim and Leviim didn't have to give based on sukkah. So you need to say a kohen and a levi doesn't have to daven musaf, and if he wants to, he can't be the chazan. For daven for an omit, we have Kohanim and Levim daven all the time for the omit for Musaf, not only for Shabbos, Musaf also. So that's why this Besomim Rosh is not generally accepted. The reason that he gave, even if the women are exempt from giving Matzah Shekel, but they're still obligated to participate in Hakrovis Karbonis Tzibur and the Karbonis HaMusaf Marofen on behalf of everybody, the men, the women, the children on behalf of everybody. And the real reason why we assume that the women are exempt from davening Musaf is the first reason that the Nevi Yehuda gave, namely that it's a mitzvah seses shazman groma, and it's not rachmi, so therefore they're not obligated. So this is the first and the second in yonim, the two mitzvahs, the one mentioned explicitly by the Chumash, the hakrovas hamasafim on Rosh Chodesh, and the second is the davening of tefilas hamasafim. There is a third special inyan that the Torah singles out, not in Parshas Pinchas, but in Parshas Bahaloyscha, also in Chumash Bamidbar. There was a special mitzvah of Tekiyas Chatzotzros on Rosh Chodesh, in conjunction with the offering of the Musafim, the special additional karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah requires, Ov Yom Simchaschem, Ov Vayadechem, Ov Rosh Chodeshem, An Shabbosim, An Yom Tovim, An Rosh Chodesh, An Chalamoit, Uskaitem Achatzotzis, Al Olasechem, Al Zitche Shalmechem, the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash have to blow trumpets, the special mitzvah, they have to blow music, in connection with the Hakrovas HaMusafim. What kind of an inyan is this Tias Chatzotzros? So in the Tur, in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, the Tur quotes in the name of the Shuvas HaGoinim that the gist of the pasuk is that on Rosh Chodesh there is a Chiyuv Simcha. Not a Chiyuv Simcha mid the Rabbanon, a real Chiyuv Simcha mid the Torah. And that's what the Tias Chatzotzros represents. You have to blow trumpets with musical accompaniment to the Hakrovas HaKorbanos of the Musafim as a form of the Kiyum of Mitzvah Simchas Rosh Chodesh. Is there any other way in which we demonstrate this union of Simcha de Araisa on Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam claims yes. The Rambam in Hilchas Tainis, he doesn't have it in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, but in Hilchas Tainis he has tucked away in a certain place. He writes that on the Gemara says that one is prohibited to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh. So the Rambam says this is a biblical prohibition. It's awesome in our Torah to fast on Rosh Chodesh because Rosh Chodesh has a chiyuv simcha, and if one fasts, this is a bittul of the simchas Rosh Chodesh. He's violating the mitzvah of simcha. So in other words, he's not permitted to fast, so he has to have a suda. He has to eat something. If he won't eat anything, he'll be fasting. He has to eat something. Does he have to have? He has to wash for bread, and he has to have basar v'yayin. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that if a person ate on Rosh Chodesh and he benches, he has to recite Yalav Yovel. But if he forgot to mention Yalav Yovel in the benching, he doesn't have to repeat the benching because he wasn't really obligated to eat bread in the first place. He could have had a cup of water, he could have had some potatoes, a piece of meat, chicken, whatever, and he didn't have to have meat either. He could have milkshakes. There is no obligation to have basar v'yayin. There is no obligation to wash. It's just that it's prohibited to have a tainus. In the Shulchan Aruch, however, a minig is quoted. It's not a din d'oraisa, it's not even a din d'rabbanan. A very ancient minig is quoted from the days of the Talmud that the people would have a sudas Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh has a chi of simcha. So as a form of expressing this simcha as Rosh Chodesh, they would have mitam minig, they would have a suda chashuva. Even if one normally doesn't eat meat, he would have a fleishig meal on Rosh Chodesh. And even if one normally doesn't wash, one normally doesn't like to eat bread, but on Rosh Chodesh, the proper thing is that one should have a suda of basar, a pas, and so on. But this is only a minig, this is not a real deal. Is there any other form of expressing this inyan of Simchas Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam says in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRambam, yes, certainly, the reciting of Hallel. Gemara has a whole discussion in Masechet Erechin as to when Hallel is to be recited. So the Gemara says, sure, we say Hallel on all the Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, well, how come we don't say Hallel on Shabbos? The Gemara says, no, Shabbos is not called a Moed. What do you mean Shabbos is not a Moed? Shabbos has a Kedushas Hayom. So the Ramban seems to understand Shabbos has no Chiyuv Simcha. A Chiyuv Simcha is only on a Moed, on Yom Tov. Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha. Then the Gemara asks, well, what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is called the Moed, so why don't we recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Because what we recite, what we call reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is really only a minhag. The Gemara says in the end of Masechet Tainis that the fact that we skip two paragraphs in the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is an indication that the reciting of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. Were it Nikar Adin, we would be obligated to recite the entire Hallel from the beginning to the end. And if you leave out one word, you wouldn't be Yotzei. So the fact that we skip two prokim and two half prokim in the Pirkei HaTehillim that we recite on Hallel is a clear indication that it's only a minhag. And Nikar Adin, you don't have to recite Hallel. So the Gemara asks, but why? And the Gemara says that this minhag was unknown in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that Rav was a student, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yechon, they're both students of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. When Rav traveled to Bavel, Rav's family originally came from Bavel, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rebbe, by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And then when he went back to Bavel to establish a yeshiva and to practice his rabbinate there, so he saw the balabatim, and so he was shocked at the minhagim. He didn't know what was going on. So he came to shul one day on Rosh Chodesh and he started to say hallel. So he thought they were amaratzim, and he thought that this was another point of amaratzim, that they're saying hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says sov alav sekinu. He thought that he's going to have to break the news to them every day. He told them another thing: he's doing this wrong, he's doing that wrong. So he thought he's going to have to break the good news to them that they're doing this wrong also, that they're saying hallel. And then they skipped one parak, then they skipped another parak, so he realized that they themselves realized that this is not the real Hallel, it's only a minhag. So obviously Rav, who studied in the big yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, never heard of that minhag. Never heard of the minhag of reciting Chatzi Hallel, as we call it, of saying the half Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. This is a minhag that originated in Bavel by the Balabatim, and then it spread to the rest of the world. So the Gemara asks in Erech and Daf Yud on the base, why shouldn't we be obligated to recite the entire Hallel in the Ikar Adin on Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos? We understand why not, because Shabbos is not a Moed. It means that there's no Chiyuv Simcha. And the Mechayit, the thing that obligates one to recite Hallel, is the Chiyuv Simcha that's present on the Yom Tov. So Shabbos has no Chiyuv Simcha, but Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed, so why don't we recite Hallel? So the Gemara says no. that Rosh Chodesh is only a moed in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what do you do on Rosh Chodesh? In the Beis HaMikdash, you bring the Musaf. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what dinim do you have on Rosh Chodesh? It's Mutar Basiyas Malacha. There are no other things that you have to do or you're not allowed to do on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that you have to recite Hallel outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, the Ramban sounds like he thinks that they had to say the entire Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. That's the Mashmoyas of the Ramban. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that he had heard that from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, many years earlier. And then around 20, 30 years later, he read this Ramban, and it hit him that the Ramban sounds like he says that. Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvos, that only Hallel B'Gvulim, only outside of the Beis HaMikdash do we not recite Hallel Nikar Adin Al Meshchedesh. In the Beis HaMikdash, they do recite Hallel. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to say Hallel Nikar Adin because there was a Chiyuv Simcha Al Meshchedesh. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a real full Chiyuv Simcha, but the Minhav that developed and bubbled by the Balabatim to recite the Chassi Hallel also stems from this. And the fact that Mitam Minhag outside of the Beis HaMikdash was also a Chiyuv of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. Because of the fact that the Hallel is only a Minhag, the Talmud points out that you have to skip, you have to leave out part of the Hallel. What is the relationship? If it's a Din, you say the entire Hallel, it's a Minhag, you have to leave out. So the Rav Soloveitchik used to quote the Poskim who point out, the Gemara says in the end of Shabbos that one is prohibited to say Hallel every day. That is prohibited to recite Hallel every single day. So the Poskim point out not only is prohibited to recite Hallel every day, one is prohibited to recite Hallel when he's not obligated to. When there's a Chiyuv, either a biblical Chiyuv or a rabbinical Chiyuv, to recite Hallel, then you recite. When you're not obligated, then it's prohibited. I mean, you can never volunteer to say Hallel on a day when you're not obligated to. So the Poskim say that's right. It's prohibited to say Hallel. But in Bavel, they volunteered a minute to say Chatzi Hallel and Hallel Moed Pesach and Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So whenever you want to volunteer a Hallel, you have to make sure that you leave out part of the Hallel. Because to say the entire Hallel on a day when one is prohibited, when one is not obligated to recite Hallel, this itself is a prohibition. That's why just parenthetically, there are many who are very happy about the establishment of Medinas Yisrael, and the many who celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut as a Yontif, and the many who say Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut, but they feel that to say the entire Hallel is prohibited because there's really no obligation. Others think there is an obligation, but there are many who think that there's no obligation. No takana was ever instituted, and there's no biblical obligation. So many feel, even assuming all of the first premises, they feel that Medina is a positive thing, and there's what to celebrate, and there is a yontif, and so on and so forth, but they think that to recite the entire Hallel is prohibited. That's a separate question. It's another question. Getting back to the original din that the Torah has, that on the Rosh Chodeshim, or the Yom Simchaschim, or the Maadechim, or the Rosh Chodeshim, was Kaitem Bachatzotzis Allah Losechim Azir Cheshamechim, that on the Rosh Chodeshim, and on the Yom Tovim, and on Salamoid, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Vedim would blow Chatzotzros in conjunction with the Hakrovas HaKorbanos. This is what the Talmud calls Shira, that in the Beis HaMikdash, every day of the year, when the Korbanos would be offered, the Korbanos HaTzibur would be offered, the Vedim would sing a Shir Shalyom at the time the Kohanim would be pouring the wine down the special pipes on the Mizbeah. The Gemara in Brachos derives from a pasuk that Ein Omrim Shira Ela Al Hayayin. The Shir Halavim was only recited at the time that the Kohanim were pouring the Nisuch Hayayin. The Gemara has a dispute regarding the Shira, whether Iker Shira B'Peh or Iker Shira B'Kli. We know that every day when the Levim sang the Shira, they would sing a parak from Tehillim with a Nigin, they would say words with a Nigin, and then they would have other Levim who would be Mishorin, who would be playing the music. So the Gemara has a dispute whether the playing of the music on the instruments is min ha-Torah or it's only mid-Rabbanon. Should I assume Iker Shira B'Kli, that that's part of the basic din min ha-Torah, that you have to play music in conjunction with the Shira? Or should I say no, Iker Shira is only B'Peh, to recite the Pirkei Tehillim with a beautiful nigin. And the accompaniment with the music, that's only mid-Rabbanon, lehidur mitzvah, so to speak, to enhance the Shira B'Kli. So whatever you think all year long, but on these special days of Yom Simchaschem, of Mayadechem, of Rosh Hashechem, then it was certainly, it's Kaita Machatzotis Allah Vasechem, Azit Cheshamechem. Here the Torah says that you have to have an instrument. So the whole institution of Shir B'Kli, that they had to play musical instruments at the time that they had the Shir Shalyom sung by the Levim, the mocker of the whole institution of Shira Dikli is this pasuk in Bahaloska. And the dispute the Gemara has is, should I say that this din is limited to these special occasions of Yom Tovim and Rosh Hashanah, and all year long there was no biblical requirement for Shira Dikli at all? Or should I say, no, Shira Dikli was required all year long, but the special Chatzertus were only on these occasions. All year long they didn't use Chatzertus, they used other kelim, other instruments. And on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Tovim, they had these special trumpets in addition to all of the other instruments. They had a whole orchestra there. The Mishnah and Erechim described how many pieces they had. The 35, 45 piece orchestra of Levim playing musical instruments and harmonizing everything together. So on these special days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Tovim, the orchestra was enhanced with the use of the Chatzotza. It's interesting, one of the early commentaries, the Mabit, a contemporary of the Beis Yosef in the 1500s in Eretz Yisrael, in Sfas, writes in his commentary on the Rambam in the Kiryas Sefer that the reciting of the Shira Bichlal, even the Shira B'Peh, was only Minatora, was only a biblical obligation on these special occasions, only on Rosh Chodeshim and Yamim Tevim and Shabbos. Yom Simchas K'madechem Rosh HaChechem, and all year long the reciting of Shira, the singing of Shira is only with the Rabbanah. This is generally not accepted. The simple reading of the Talmud is clearly not so, but the obligation to recite Shira and to sing Shira all year long, to have a Shira Shalom, were certainly biblical in nature. All year long there was a din of Shira B'Peh. The special, what was special about these days was that on these special occasions they had to have Chatzotza. So one opinion in the Gemara is that this was the only time that the Natari had to have musical accompaniment at all. And the other opinions of the Gemara, hold that all year long you have to have Shira Dikli. On these occasions, you have to enhance the orchestra, you have to have Chatzotzis in addition to the other thing. But because the parsha of Giyas Chatzotzros clearly has something to do with Shira, you can't deny that, you can't say that it has nothing to do with Shira. The Mabit claims that this is the source of Shira. Menater, this is the only time you have Shira prepared at all. All year long, Menater, you don't have to have any Shira at all. So even though we don't accept his thesis, we assume that all year long there was a biblical requirement to have Shira, but still, apparently the Chachamim understood from the Parsha that the Shira should be unique and different on Shabbosim and Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodeshim from the rest of the year. So that's why they didn't recite the regular Shira. The Shir Shalom that they sang every week on Sunday and every week on Monday and every week on Tuesday, every Monday they said the same Shir Shalom and every Thursday they said the same Shir Shalom. But if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Wednesday, then they said a different Shir Shalom. They didn't say the Wednesday Shir Shalom. They said the Baruch Nafshi, a separate Shir Shalom. And if Sukkot falls out on Tuesday, they said the Sukkot Dikah Shir Shalom. They didn't say the Wednesday Shir Shalom or the Thursday Shir Shalom. They said the special Shir Shalom for Yom Tov to replace the Shir Shalom of the weekday. This is based on this parsha of Kiyas Chatzotzos, that the Torah says that there has to be something special about the Shira on the Yom Tov and on the Rosh Chodesh. It's interesting that the Hasina points out that if you read the Gemaris in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah carefully, you will be presented with a contradiction regarding this issue of the Shir Shalom. Did they really recite the special Yom Tov Dikah Shira every time they brought Musa, every time they brought Karbonis on a Yom Tov? The Karbonis people were brought on Yom Tov. First they brought Oilas Tamin in the morning, one oil of in the morning, and the Kohanim would pour wine down the pipes on the Mizbech, and the Levim would have to sing Shir. And then they brought all of the Musafim, 11 Korbanos on Musafim, usually on Rosh Chodesh is 11, 10 oilas and 1 Kata, and when they would pour all the wine down the pipes on the Mizbech, again the Levim would sing Shir. And then after they brought the Talmud Shalvein Abayim, the third Korban, all day long they brought Korbanos. Private people with only karbonis. It's a different thing. A private person is obligated to bring a karbon, whatever, a chatas and asham, so you don't sing any shira. The Levim only sing shira when it's a karbon people, when it's a community karbon on behalf of Klal Yisra. So the third karbon on a Yom Tov or on a Rosh Chodesh would be the Talmud Shel Ben Abayim. After the Hakrovas HaKarbon, the Kohanim would pour the special wine, the Chasim and Iskem, the special wine down the pipes on the side of the Mizbeach, and the Levim would sing the shira. So in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah would appear that on all the Yom Tovim, not only did the Levim sing the special Yom Tov Dikah Shir Shalom at the time the Kohanim were pouring the wine following the Musafim, they would sing the special Shir Shalom even after the Talmud Shal Shach and after the Talmud Shal Ben Arbayim. All three sets of Nisach HaYayim. The first in the morning after the Tamash al Shachar, the second after the Musaf, and the third after the Tamash al Ben Abayim, they would never say the weekday Shir Shayom, the Sunday, the Monday, the Tuesday. They would replace the Yom Tov Digi Shir Shayom for the regular one for Shachar and Ben Abayim. And in the Gemara, in the end of Sukkah, Rashi throws in one word. The Gemara there is talking about what Shir Shayom. They said that every day of Chalamoid Sukkah, what did they say on Yom Tov, what did they say on Chalamoid, what did they say on Shmini Atzeres. But Rashi throws in a word there, he says, what Shir Shayom did they say when they poured the wine for the Musafim? So then Haskinach asks, why does Rashi all of a sudden say Musafim? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah seems to indicate clearly that they never said the regular Shir, the weekday Shir Shal Yom for Tamash Al Shachar, Tamash Al Ben Arbayim, when it was a Yontif. They would replace the Yontif Dikah Shir Shal Yom for the weekday one. So why does Rashi say in the end of Sukkah that the Gemara is discussing what the Shir Shal Yom was when they offered the Musaf? So the Minhasana gives a simple answer. He says he thinks you have to distinguish between Shabbos and Yontif on the one hand and Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh on the other hand. The Kedushas HaYom of Shabbos and Yom Tov permeates all day long. It has a Nisim Halacha with it. So all day long is Shabbos and all day long is Yom Tov. So when the Halacha requires that you have to say a Shabbos Dik Yishir Shayom and a Yom Tov Dik Yishir Shayom, that swallows up everything. You have to say all day long a different Shir Shayom. So you don't say, let's say when Yom Tov falls out on a Wednesday or Shchodesh falls out on a Thursday, you don't, when Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week, you wouldn't say the weekday Shir Shayom. You would have to say the Yom Tov Digi Shir Shayom all three times, after Tamash Al Shachar, after Musaf, and then after Tamash Al Ben Arbayim. But on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, with the Kedushas HaYom is only partial. It's not a full Kedushas HaYom. We know that on Yom Tov you give 5 aliyahs, and on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh you only give 4 aliyahs. So that's the Min Haskina quotes that right. So we see that it's not as chomer, it's not as, the Kedushas HaYom is clearly not as strong is on a regular Yom Tov. So therefore he suggests that on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, since the Iker of the Kedushas HaYom really sets in with respect to Karbanos HaMusafim, so he thinks only after the Karbanos HaMusafim were offered and they poured the wine for the Nesachim at that time, then they would replace the weekday Shir Shayom with the Rosh Chodesh Dikah Shir Shayom with the Chol HaMoed Shir Shayom. But after the Tamash Roshach and after the Tamash Ben Abayim, they treated it like a regular weekday. What was special about the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh? If it would have been a plain Thursday, they would also bring the same Tamash Roshach. There was no Issa Moloch and there was no shaking of a lulav or anything. There's nothing special going on at that time. Therefore, he thinks that they said the regular weekday Shir Shayom at that time. The Sfasemes, the Ger Rebbe, in his commentary on the Mishnayis and Erechin, is bothered with Akasha. Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that on Rosh Hashanah we have an obligation to blow shofar. That's all. And on a Tanis Tziva we have an obligation to blow chatzos. We don't have to blow shofar. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, on Rosh Hashanah, not only did they blow shofar, they blew shofar with chatzos together. And on a Tanis Tziva in the Beis HaMikdash, they blew shofar with chatzos. How come they blew both together? So they want quotes the pasuk from Tilam. The chatzos is called shofar. Whenever you are l'fnei HaMelech Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, then you have to, whenever you blow shofar, you have to blow chatzotze with it. Whenever you blow chatzotze, you have to blow shofar with kacha. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't apply. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the halacha. Then on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, since you have to blow shofar, you have to blow chatzotze with it. And on the Tanis Tziva, you have to blow chatzotze, trumpets, you have to accompany it with the shofar. And the Mishnah in Erechin quotes this pasuk from Chumash and Parshas Bahalos, that on these special occasions, the Yom Simchaschem of Moadechem and Rosh Chodeshchem, in addition to all of the other musical instruments that they would play, as the Levim would be singing the Shir Shayom, they would also blow chatzotzes. And it lists off exactly how many instruments there were of a tremendously big orchestra, and it doesn't say that they blew shofar in conjunction with the chatzotzes. So the Sfasemes asks, how come? What happened to the din in Rosh Hashanah? B'chatzos was called shofar, hariyo l'fnei Melech Hashem. That whenever one is in the Beis HaMikdash and you have to blow one, you have to blow chatzos, then you have to blow shofar again. So al pi pashtus, I think the answer is very clear. That halacha, that you have to blow shofar with chatzos in the Beis HaMikdash, whenever you're obligated to blow one, you have to blow the other, we know there seems to be another exception to the rule. The Mishnah tells us, the Chumash tells us, the Torah tells us that on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, every 50th year, we have to celebrate the Shnas HaYovel. On the Yom Kippur of the Shnas HaYovel, the Torah requires that we should blow shofar, just like on Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar and we recite Malchus Achonah Shofar to Musaf, so the same was required every 50th year. Once in Ayovel. Amol in Ayovel, you have to blow shofar on Yom Kippur. In fact, some Rishonim say Tosfos claims that the fact that we blow shofar at the end of Ne'ilah, after Yom Kippur is all over, is a zecher to the fact that years ago, when we used to have the real Yovel, we used to blow real shofar, not just a Tkiya Gdola. We blow Tkiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tkiya, the whole work, just like on Rosh Hashanah. The whole Tkiya, the Malchus Chana Shofar, so they used to do the same on every Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So when the Rambam quotes in the Gemaras and the Tosefta's describing how they blew Tkiya Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, nobody ever mentions the fact that when they blew the Tkiyas in the Beis HaMikdash, they would blow Chatzetzis in conjunction with the Shofar. It would appear that that was only on Rosh Hashanah and on a Tainus Tzibur. And it didn't apply at Yom Simchas V'Mardech and Rosh HaChashech, when they blew Chatzetzis, they didn't have to blow Shofar with it. Nor did it apply on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, when they had to blow Tkiyas Shofar, that they had to blow Chatzetzis with it. How come? How did the Chachamim know that pasuk in Tehillim, V'chatzah, it's goes with Kol Shofar, Harir, L'pnei HaMelech Hashem, is limited up to two cases, only Rosh Hashanah and Tainus Tzibur, and shouldn't apply to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel and to all of the other Yom Tehillim, Yom Simchas V'Mardech? I think the answer must be as follows. I think the Chachamim understood that the purpose of Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Tkiyas Chatzotzes on Tainus Tzibur are identical. That's how the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Rif and the Mechamas on Rosh Hashanah. He says, when did they blow Tkiyas Chatzotzes on a Tainus Tzibur? So the Mishnah Tainus describes it. The people were daven Shmoneh Esrei, let's say Shachris, they were daven Shachris on a Tainus Tzibur. And everybody would daven a regular Shmoneh Esrei, Tfilah B'Lachash. Then the Chazan would get up and repeat the Shmoneh Esrei out loud, the Tfilah B'Tzibur. So the Chazan, in the middle of his Chazaras HaShatz, would add on six additional brachas. And the Mishnah gives you the text for the brachas, with the psukim from Tehillim and from Navi that he would recite. At the conclusion of each one of those six additional brachas that the Chazan would recite in his Shmoneh Esrei, instead of having 18 brachas, we got 24. We got 24 brachas in the Chazaras HaShatz, instead of the 18 that all the Hamoinam said. At the conclusion of each one of those six additional brachas that the Chazan would recite in his Chazaras HaShatz, the Mishnah says in Tainus, the Baal Tekeh would blow Tekiya, then he would blow Shvarim after the next bracha, then he would blow Tekiya after the third bracha, then he would blow Tekiya again after the next, then Shvarim and Tekiya, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya. So the purpose, obviously the purpose of these Tekiyas is to enhance the Tefillah that the Chazan is reciting, to enhance the Tefillahs and the Bakoshas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to the prayers of the people. He should give the rain, he should cure the sickness, he should stop the epidemic or the plague or the, whatever the Torah happens to be that the people are fasting about. So the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Rif and Rosh Hashanah that the same is true regarding the nature of the Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that the purpose of, why did the Chachamim all of a sudden institute such a wild notion that we should blow Tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, in the middle of Davin and Shmoneh Esrei? They never instituted you should shake lulav in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. They never instituted you should eat matzah in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. This is a separate mitzvah, not a separate mitzvah, not a separate mitzvah. The Baruch Hashem, 613 mitzvahs. What do you have to shove together all the mitzvahs to put the Tkiyas Shofar in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei? So the Ramban explains why. It's the same as Tkiyas Chatzotzes on the Tainus Tzibur. The purpose of the Tkiyas is to enhance the Bakosha, to enhance the Tfilah. So the Ramban writes that just like, he draws a parallel, just like on the Tainus Tzibur, the purpose of the Tkiyas Chatzotzes is to enhance the Tfilas and the Bakoshas of the Chazaras HaShatz, the six additional brachas that the Chazan would add on to the Shmoneh Esrei. The same is true on Rosh Hashanah, that the purpose of the Tkiyas HaSeder HaBrachas was to enhance the brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei, the Bakosha. At the conclusion of Malchus Chana Shofar, we ask a Bakosha. We ask a bakosha at the end of each one of the three brachas of Malchus Chana Shofar. To enhance that bracha, that's called za'aka, to scream out, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you daven, Baruch Hashem, I make a parnos. So I daven in Baruch Hashem, give me more parnos. See, that's a tefillah. What happens if a person doesn't have a parnos? What happens if a person is really sick? I say refrain, I'm not sick. What if I'm really sick and I'm now really say refrain? That's called a za'aka. That's a little more than stamat tefillah. He's really crying out. So the idea of Tkiyas Shofar, Tkiyas Chatzotzes, is that the tefillah should take on the form of a za'aka. that it should be a tefillah sheyesh bo bechiyus. That's how the Gemara says. That in the Chumash, Rosh Hashanah is described as Yom Teruah Yi Elohem. On the Targum Mino, the Gemara says, in the Targum Unkel, it writes on the phrase Yom Teruah Yom Yabova. And what does the word Yabova mean? The cry. The Gemara quotes a pasuk about the Sisra's mother. But the Yabei, Sisra's mother was sobbing, she was crying. So what's the idea of crying? What do you have to cry in the middle of davening? Because the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaZohav in Bava Metzia, that there are two types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah sheyesh bo bechiyah and a tefillah sheein bo bechiyah. And the pasuk tells us that on the Yom Shechar Beis Hamikdash, when the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to prayers like he used to years ago. Gam ki ezak v'ashavei asah sam tefillasi lefonu. Even if I cry out, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I cry out, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't listen to the tefillahs, listen to the prayers in the same way that he used to bizman Beis Hamikdash Hayekayim. Because the Beis Hamikdash is not only the Makom HaKrovos HaKorbanos, it's basically Beis Tefila Yikari. That's the official office for receiving the prayer. That's why when we daven, we have to face the Beis Hamikdash, because the Beis Hamikdash is Beis Tefila. You really should all daven. That the prayers are not accepted, that's only Shari Tfilo Ninalu. But Shari Bichiyois, Shari Demois, Loi Ninalu. If a person cries when he davens, it doesn't just mean he turns on the faucet and he starts crying. It means if he davens from Oinik Nimiyas Aleiv, and he davens with such a heart and such feeling that he's carried away to cry, so this enhances the Tfilo and elevates it to a higher level of Tfilo. So that the Gemara says, even Mizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kan, that's a higher level of Tfilo. So this is accepted in the same way that it was always accepted, even Mizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Hayakai. It's a different type, it's a different level of Tfilo. So the Gemara says that that's the idea, the Ramban points out, that's what the Gemara says, that's the idea of Tekiyas Chatzotzos on a tiny Sibur, and Tekiyas Shefer on Rosh Hashanah, in conjunction with the Malchis, the Chayne Shefer, and the six brachas that the Chazan adds, and the Chazor HaShatz and the Tainas Tzibur, to enhance the Tefillah, to elevate these Bakoshes to the level of Zohar, that we should stand a better chance of having these prayers answered. So the Gemara says, in the Beis Hamikdash, which is the basic Beis Tefillah, that's the official place where you're supposed to daven, and even those who don't daven in the Beis Hamikdash, those who daven in New York, have to face the Beis Hamikdash when they daven. It's Pala Elecha Derach HaBayis HaZeh, Shlomo HaMelech said when he built the Beis Hamikdash. Everybody should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu facing this Beis Hamikdash, but the Beis Hamikdash is the Iker Makom Tefillah. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, "Vachatzoyt es kol shayfer hariru lefnei HaMelech Hashem." When you're davening in the Beis Hamikdash, and you are enhancing your tefillah either with shayfer on Rosh Hashanah or with chatzoyt on the Tainit Tzibur, since the Beis Hamikdash is the Beis HaTefillah with the Hey HaYedia, the Beis Tefillah, so you should doubly enhance your tefillah. Whenever you have chatzitza, throw in a shofar as well. Whenever you have a shofar, throw in a chatzitza as well. But on the Yom Simchaschem of Mayadech and Rosh HaShechem, the idea of the skaitam b'chatzitza is not to enhance the za'oka. There's no za'oka on Yom Tif, there's no za'oka on Rosh Hashanah, on a chalamoid or Amash Chodesh. The Torah quoted from the Goyim that that's the musical accompaniment of the shiras for the purpose of simcha. It's not that we're crying in the middle of davening. It has nothing to do with enhancing tefillah. That's a kiyum of simcha. So the simcha has to be with pleasant sounding melody. So what do you mean? You're going to tell me I did in the Beis Hamikdash then? Whenever you play music with the chatzitz, you have to throw in a shofar. But the shofar is going to ruin the melody. It's going to ruin the musical sound. So that's the answer to the sasemis is kasha. You can't require of me a din that since the blowing chatzitz is in the Beis Hamikdash on Rosh Chodesh or on Chalamoid or on Yom Tov, you have to blow also shofar. No, that din only applies when the blowing of the chatzitz, so the blowing of the shofar, is for the purpose of elevating the tefillah to a level of za'oka. But here, the blowing of the chatzitz on a Rosh Chodesh or on the Yom Kippur or Chalamoid has nothing to do with za'oka, nothing to do with tefillah. It's a form of simcha, simchas Yom Tov. So the music sounds nice without the shofar. You're going to blow shofar, you're going to ruin the music. So you don't blow shofar. And the same answer is true regarding Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. The Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, the Talmud tells us that the Chachamim instituted that you should blow shofar And then Kippur Shal Yovam connection with Malchus Zecharin and Shoifer. But the Gemara says also that the Iker Tkia Shoifer and Yom Kippur Shal Yovam is not really to elevate the tefillah to a level of Zohar. The Tkia on Yom Kippur Shal Yovam is to announce that we're letting free the slaves. The din is that an Eved Ivri goes free after working for 6 years. He's Yotze B'Sheish, after the 6 years are up, he's Yotze B'Ashvi, he's Yotze L'Chav Shechina. Or if Yovel comes first, then he's Yotze B'Yovel. So the Gemara says that the simon, the Shiluach HaVodim, was the Tkiyas Shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. And from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, the owner, the Odon of the Eved, has no right to make the Eved work for him. But on the other hand, the Eved has to hang around, he doesn't go free yet. And then when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, you blow the Shofar, that's the simon, the Shiluach HaVodim. The Gemara understands that that is the Iker Din of Tkiyas. And Yom Kippur Shal Yovel has nothing to do with tefillah. That's why the Rambam writes also it's a different din. The Rambam writes that on Rosh Hashanah it's a mitzvah l'shmoa kol shayfa, and on Yom Kippur he says it's a mitzvah l'tkaya. On Rosh Hashanah it's a mitzvah l'shmoya. He means that it's a mitzvah of tefillah. On Yom Kippur Shal Yovel it's a mitzvah to make noise, like lahavdol lela falfei havdol is the goyim on New Year's Eve they're tooting horns. What are they tooting horns? They're making noise. What are they making noise? Tefillah has nothing to do with tefillah. They're making noise. So our mitzvah to blow shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel is more similar to what they're doing on New Year's Eve than it is to Rosh Hashanah. When we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that's to enhance the tefillah. When we blow shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, the Rambam writes that's not shmiya. That's a mitzvah of kiya, to make noise. And some commentaries point out on the Rambam that it would appear that on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, you wouldn't be able to have the institution of a Baal Tekeah that he'll blow and be moitzi everybody. Shemeh kind of wouldn't help, because let's say on Purim, when it's a mitzvah to clap on and to make noise, so can you say Shemeh Koina? You say, let the Gabbai wind his grogger, and everybody will be Yotze B'Shemeh Koina. We're listening to the noise that the Gabbai is making, so everybody's Yotze. So the Paskim point out, the Avnezer points out that you can't say that. That's why. You can't say that. You don't say Shemeh Koina whenever the mitzvah is to make noise, you have to make your own noise. You can't follow Zach on his noise. He is Shefer on Rosh Hashanah, that mitzvah to make noise. It's a chelik of the davening. So just like you say Shemeh Koina on davening, so you say Shemeh Koina on the shofar. But I am Kippur Shal Yovel, the Mefarshim point out that Rambam says it's not a mitzvah shmiya, it's not a chelik of the davening. It's a mitzvah to make noise as a simon that the Yavodim are going free. So the pashtus is that you cannot require on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, even in the Beis HaMikdash, that you should blow chatzotzes in conjunction with the shofar. The chatzotzes don't blend in with the shofar. The only time we require both is when the purpose of the shofar or the chatzotzer is to enhance the tefillah. So then in the base tefillah, you call it in the base hamikdash, which is the base tefillah, you have to have both together. There is another aspect to this pasuk, v'skaitam ha-chatzotzes ha-lo l'sechem ha-zid cheshon lechem, the last phrase in the pasuk, v'niskaitam l'fnei Hashem ha-lokechem. It's another inyan. The Tkiyas Chatzotzes that was done on Rosh Chodeshim and on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed in conjunction with the Karbonos that were offered in the Beis HaMikdash was for the purpose of Simcha. That's what the Torah quoted from the Gemara. That's the source of the Chiyuv Simcha V'Araisa on Rosh Chodesh. But the Rambam writes it's an Issa V'Araisa to have a Tainis on Rosh Chodesh because it's a Chiyuv Simcha. But then the last phrase in the Pasuk tells us a completely different obligation. It is Kartam L'fnei Hashem Lokechem. That at the time that you blow the chatzotzes, we should be remembered by Hashem. So this pasuk is taken to be the source of the institution of the prayer of Yalav Yovel. We say Yalav Yovel v'Yagir v'Yevor. The Nizach is Zichron Neir, the Pekneir, the Zichron Kalam Chavetz Yisrael, the Zichron Mashiach, the David Adef, the Zichron Shlomik Hashiach, the Zichron, the Zichron, the Zichron, everything was Zichron. So the mocker of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Zichronos on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, on Yom Tov, is that pasuk v'niskartem lefnei Hashem Elokeinu. On these special occasions when the Torah requires that we should blow the chatzotzes, v'niskartem, we should be remembered. So this man is that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we're not blowing the chatzotzes. So what we do is we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say the Yalav Yovel. We can't do the first half of the pasuk, but we want you to fulfill your second half of the pasuk of v'niskartem lefnei Hashem Elokeinu. The Gemara has a din that if a person davens on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed and he forgets Yalav Yovel, he has to daven over again. What kind of a din is that he has to daven over? What, he wasn't Yotze the davening? He said the nusach of the davening. That's where Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, it doesn't mean that it's not yoytze the davening. The davening, he is yoytze. He didn't fulfill his chiyuv in his karpen. So we allow him, not we require of him that he wasn't yoytze shachris, he wasn't yoytze mincha, he has to daven over. We allow him to repeat the Shemona Esrei, and we don't consider it a bracha levatola. We allow him to volunteer a tfilas nedava to daven. He really was yoytze shachris, he really was yoytze mincha, with the tigat yalav yoga. But we recommend to him that he should volunteer a tfilas nedava, sinish shachris, sinish musa, sinish mincha. It doesn't have a name to it, it's tfilas nedava. We recommend that he should volunteer another Shemona Esrei in order to chaparain this mitzvah in his karta, that he should be eight in the mitzvah of mentioning the nizacher, zichroneinu, figvoneinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us. Apparently not. If Dakonis Chachamim was, in the stomach in our Torah, he can't. If you say Yalav Yov alone, you're Yotzev in his karta. But the Dakonis Chachamim was that you should mention this in his karta in the context of a tefillah. Right, the Gemara says Ma'ariv is a separate reason, not because Nidove. The Gemara says Zan Chalamoid, if a person forgets Yalav Yov to Ma'ariv, he has to daven over, not because he wasn't Yotzev Ma'ariv. He was Yotzev the tefillah, but he didn't have this mitzvah in his karta. But Amash Chodesh, if you forget the Alav Yavoi, to Meir of Amash Chodesh, the Gemara Brachas gives a special reason why he doesn't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. The Gemara gives a very strange reason, because since the Bezdin has to declare the day as Rosh Chodesh, and the Bezdin cannot be convened at night, so the Bezdin will only convene in the daytime tomorrow morning. True, when they would declare the day as Rosh Chodesh, the entire day would become Rosh Chodesh retroactively beginning from last night. Because when they declare today is Rosh Chodesh, or today means today, the whole day, all 24 hours, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. But since at night it wasn't yet declared as Rosh Chodesh, it's going to become Rosh Chodesh tomorrow retroactively, so the Gemara says, therefore, if a person forgot the Alav Yov, he doesn't have to daven over. What exactly that means is questionable. Why should that make any difference? But it is going to become Rosh Chodesh retroactively. So there's a whole discussion in the commentaries on the Gemara. The Gemara has such an opinion. The Gemara has such an opinion that the Gemara rejects it. So the question is, the first opinion make more sense? The problem? That's what Rav Soloveitchik listed off this as one of his many kashas, and he gave a whole different interpretation of that Gemara. What does it mean? And his man said there is no Bezdin. His man said the Luach is printed already years in advance, even the first day of Rosh Chodesh. We know when Rosh Chodesh is. So what kind of a reason is that the Bezdin didn't declare? The Bezdin is not going to declare tomorrow either. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole interpretation of that Gemara. A tenth aspect of Rosh Chodesh appears in the Gemara, and appears to be a real din, not a biblical din, but a rabbinical din. The Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh is no problem of bittul malach. Normally, the people have to go to work; they're in a rush, they have to go to work. And Rosh Chodesh Gemara says there's no problem of bittul malach if the chazan sings a little later in the davening, nish gefelach in the morning, because the people are not going to go to work anyway. The Rashi and Tosfos comment on him, what do you mean they're not going to go to work? Everybody goes to work. So Rashi and Tosfos say, but the women don't go to work. The Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women. The women don't go to work on Rosh Chodesh. So what does that mean exactly, Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women? So the commentary, the Rishonim give different explanations. So Rashi and Tosfos quote in the tour, quote the most famous interpretation is what Rashi quotes from the Pirkei de Reb Lezer and Perek Mem Dalet, that when the Jewish people decided that they wanted to worship the Egel, right after Maimon HaSinai, they all decided they wanted to worship the Egel. So this was the idea of the men. And the women didn't want to get involved. And all the men were volunteering gold to make this Egel Azov. The women refused to give their gold. Not because they wanted the gold for themselves, they didn't want to donate. They would have donated it when they made the Beis HaMikdash, they donated the gold. But for an Egel, for Avodah Zarah, they didn't want to have anything to do with the Avodah Zarah. So as a reward for the women, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a yontif that doesn't apply to the men. And that's why the Mefarshim say on Shulchan Aruch, what if a man wants to volunteer this Midas Chasidus not to do malacha on, he doesn't want to, he wants to take off from his work every Rosh Chodesh. And some shuls, they instituted that. That every Rosh Chodesh, they have special shurim all day long. That Babei Rav de Chad Yom, they have to take off So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Machronim that absolutely there's no kima mitzvah whatsoever. This is only a mitzvah for the women that the men can't observe. Let's say when it comes to shaking a lulav or sitting in sukkah, that the women are exempt, but if they want to volunteer, so they have the Torah Tainim mitzvah, yes. But if the men want to volunteer, not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, and many Achronim, some Achronim say that it's a mitzvah kasidus, and others say no, it's arois givorchim, because this was only a special bonus that was given to the women because of the fact that they didn't want to get involved in the chetuah. The Torah quotes other Rishonim early sources who present the story a little differently. It's not that at the occasion of the Chet HaEgel, because the women didn't want to get involved, that HaKadosh Baruch at that time instituted from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what the Pirkei Avot Lezer says, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu on, Rosh Chodesh was designated as a yonta for women that they shouldn't do malacha. And the Mishnah Berurah discussed, what does it mean? It says it's only a minig. What does it mean? The women who have the minig have it, the women who don't want to have the minig don't have it. Or no, the women are supposed to observe this minute. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the earlier sources. He says all of the early sources say that the women are supposed to have this minute. It's not that if they want to, they can have the minute. And he recommends that all the women should observe such a minute. Within the details of the minute, he says that already depends what they want. They don't want to do any work at all on Rosh Chodesh, or they just don't want to do heavy work. They don't want to do the laundry, or they don't want to do whatever, the wallpapering, or the painting of the house, whatever. The cooking, like, whatever you do on Yom Kippur, or Chol HaMoed, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos also. But to do heavy work, that the minig is that enough. So the Torah quotes another version of this story. Not that Rosh Chodesh was designated as a Yom Kippur for the women at the time of the Chet HaEgel, as a reward for the fact that they didn't participate. It presents another early source that has everything just the reverse. That originally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated the Yamim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, these were instituted Mechuvan Keneged, the three others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That when the angels came to Avraham's home, it says Matzah Sofa Bayochel. You see that this Avraham Avinu was baking matzahs, so because he baked matzahs, the Ribbono Shel Olam made us a Yontif of Pesach. And that this Akedas Yitzchak had something to do with Shavuos, because on Shavuos, on the occasion of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was blowing a shofar, and that shofar, the Midrashim say, was for the horn of the ram of the Akedas Yitzchak. So that's the connection between Yitzchak and Shavuos. And by Yaakov Avinu it says that he made sukkahs, for Yovi Yaakov sukkahs, and he made sukkahs with behemoths, so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people a yontif of sukkah. So some Rishonim have this, Rabbeinu Bechaya, and the Torah quotes, they must have had this from some common earlier source, we don't know exactly what it is, that earlier in the history of the Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated 12 Yamim Tovim, namely the 12 Rosh HaChodeshim, somehow, Mechuvan Keneged, the 12 Shvatim, the children of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu had a 13th child, he had a daughter, Dina, so that's why we have sometimes 13 Rosh HaChodeshim. Rabbi Shnasa Ibur, Dina couldn't really be counted as a separate Shevet because she would disappear, because when you have a man marries a woman from a different tribe, so the children all follow the father's tribe, so Shevet Dina is going to have to disappear. But theoretically, there should have been 13 Shvatim, so that's what these Rishonim say, that the Ribbono Shel Olam really wanted to have 12 or 13 Yamim Tovim scattered out during the year, so that's why he set up these 12 or 13 Rosh HaChodesh. So this other version has it that originally these 12 or 13 Yamim Tovim existed for everybody, that no one should do any malacha on these 12 or 13 Rosh HaChodesh. But then when the people sinned with the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away this yontif from the men, but the women who didn't sin, not that they were given a bonus, they were given extra yontif, they remained with this yontif that was always there before the Chet HaEgel. That's the other version of Rishonim. And others give different versions as to why Rosh Chodesh should be a Yom Tov for women. Different traditions. Gemara seems to be talking about the men, right? That's the obvious difficulty in the Rashi. How does the Gemara say that there's no problem of Bikkur Malacha because the women don't go to work? So we're talking about the men in Shul? I don't know. Eleventh, and the final aspect of Rosh Chodesh is what the Pasuk tells us at the end of the Sefer Yeshaya, Kolosid Lovon. Novi tells us, V'hoyo midei Chodesh b'chodesh midei Shabbos b'shabbat yavol kol basol l'shtachlos l'fonai Omar Hashem, at the very end of the Novi Yeshaya. So So the Yalkut Shimoni points out that the simple reading of the pasuk seems to imply Yovel Kol Basar L'Shtachas means that the people will be Oyla Rega. All of the Jewish people will come to visit the Beis HaMikdash and bow down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we know the mitzvah of Aliyah Rega only applies on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So how does the pasuk say B'Hayom Midei Chodesh B'Chodshoi Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatah? Shabbos B'Shabbatah means Yontif. Means every Yontif. Like it says Mimachres HaShabbos, he counts Sphere, it means the day of the Yontif. So Yontif, that you're Oyla Regal on Yomim Tovim Lasid Lover, that we understand. But what do you mean you're Oyla Regal on Rosh HaChodesh? So the Medrash and the Yalkut Shimoni mentions the following, that the Jewish people all the years that were sitting here in Golos for so many years cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every Shabbos and every Yontif and every Rosh Chodesh, we should give us a Beis HaMikdash, give us the opportunity to bring Korbanos, give us the opportunity to be Oyla Regal. And we missed a lot of Korbanos, we missed an awful lot of Mitzvahs Aliyah Oyla Regal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish people that he's going to pay up all of those Aliyah Regals that we weren't able to fulfill, all the Shalosh Regal and Pesach Shavuos Sukkos for all these thousands and 2,000 years that we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kindalach lo siglov, I'll give you extra, I'll pay up. Not only will you be able to be Oyla Regal on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, but how you made a Chodesh B'Chodesh, every Rosh Chodesh, you'll have Aliyah Regal. Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatoy, every one of the Shalosh Regal, you'll also have Aliyah Regal. This, of course, poses a serious problem. The Rambam considers as one of the Yud Gimel Ikori Ho'amuna, one of the 13 basic principles of our religion, that the mitzvahs HaTorah do not change. The only mitzvahs in the Torah that change are those that the Torah says are going to change, namely, Dori Miklot. The Rambam writes there's only one mitzvah that's going to change, L'moris HaMashiach. The Chumash says that you have to have six Dori Miklot, three in Eretz Yisrael, three in Eivar Yarden. Then the pasuk says in Chumash Dvorim, Ki Yachav Hashem HaKechaz Gevulcho, Kasha Dibolov, when we will add on Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, and Eretz Yisrael will not only be the Eretz Zion Amimim, it will be the Eretz of the Asura Amimim, the land of the 10 nations that was originally promised to Avraham Avinu, then we'll have to have another 3 Ori Miklot. What are we going to need Ori Miklot for? There's going to be so many murderers around, there's no question. But the Chumash says that Lasid Lov, and Limois HaMashiach will have to add on another 3 Ori Miklot. So the Rambam says that's the one and only mitzvah that's going to change Limois HaMashiach. No other dinim will change. So how can the Novi, how can the Yalkut Shimoni interpret the Novi as saying that Lasi Lovay, we will have Aliyah the regular on Rosh HaChodesh? So perhaps what you have to add on is the following, that this is not really such a major change. True, we never had such an obligation in the past to be Oyla Regal on Rosh HaChodesh, but perhaps there always was such a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Let's say if a person will be Oyla Regal on Tu B'Shvat, he'll be Oyla Regal on Chanukah and Purim. So that's not a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. But what about years ago, before V'Hoyom Yidei Chodesh B'Chodesh, before Yimois HaMashiach? What if a person will choose, volunteer to be Oyla Regel every Rosh Chodesh? Will it be a partial, will it be a Kiyum HaMitzvah? Is it a mitzvah Kiyumis or not? So it would appear from a Pasuk and say from Malachim that this was always a Kiyum HaMitzvah. It's not that the mitzvah will be Neschadish Yimois HaMashiach. This was always a voluntary mitzvah. The Pasuk tells us that the Novi, Elisha HaNovi, gave a bracha to the Isha HaShunamis, who didn't have any children after being married for many years, and she had a baby. Then the baby died. The baby had a heat stroke. He went to the field where the father had to work, and the baby died. And the mother of the baby was afraid to tell her husband what happened. So she packed up all of her things, and she went on the chariot, and she said she has to go see Elisha HaNovi. So the husband says, what's the matter? Why are you running to see the Novi? Today is not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. What do you mean if it will be Shabbos? And you understand why she's going in a taxi? What's the Shabbos in the Pasuk? So the Gemara Rashana asks, what does the Pasuk mean? So the Gemara says, we learn out in this Pasuk that it's a mitzvah to visit your Rebbe on Shalosh Regalim. Chayav Adam lahakpol pnei Rabbi Barega. Where does it say you have to visit the Rebbe on Shalosh Regalim? The Pasuk says, L'chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon says, obviously the Gemara understood, Shabbos means, like this Pasuk, V'hoi Midei Chodesh V'chodesh Midei Shabbos B'Shabbat, Chodesh means Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos B'Shabbat, it does mean Shabbos. Shabbos Parashas Noah, Shabbos Parashas Lech Lechem. Shabbos means Yom Tov, Shalosh Regalim. So the Pasuk says, L'chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos, why is she going to visit the Rebbe? Why is she going to visit Elisha HaNovi, who is the Rebbe? So you see that on Yontif you have to visit the Rebbe, but you see also that on Rosh Chodesh you have to visit the Rebbe. Where does that come in? So then is the commentaries on the Gemara point out, and there's a famous Tshuva in the Nevi Yehuda about this, that the obligation to visit the Rebbe on Sholosh Regolim is related to the obligation to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Sholosh Regolim. And the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a Talmud has to stand up when his Rebbe walks into the shul, and when the Rebbe walks into the Beis HaMikdash, only once in the daytime and once in the nighttime. He's not mechuyev to stand up every time the Rebbe comes into shul, a few times in the day. Because we're not obligated to be mechabed the Rebbe more than we're obligated to be mechabed the Rebbe Shlom himself. So the Rebbe Shlom are mechabed twice a day. We say Kriya Shema, Pledge of Allegiance, once in the daytime, once at night time. So you're only obligated, and some Rishonim say you're only permitted, two versions in the Gemara, you're only obligated, you're only permitted to stand up for the Rebbe once in the daytime and once in the nighttime. So the Rebbe Yehuda says, it seems to be a parallel and a relationship between visiting the Rebbe and visiting the Beis HaMikdash. There is a chiyuv to be Ola Regel three times a year. So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that it's proper to visit the Rebbe also those three times a year, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. The Rebbe Yehuda claims that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, when we're not visiting the Rebbe Shlom three times a year, so he doesn't think that there's a mitzvah in HaTorah anymore to visit the Rebbe. He thinks that the whole institution of visiting the Rebbe on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot today is only with the Rabbanim. He says, how can it be in HaTorah? You have to be mechabed the Rebbe more than mechabed the Shechina. We're not visiting the Shechina, so how can you say you have to visit the Rebbe? That's his famous truth. So the... Well, Yom Tov is, let's say, a few days Yom Tov. Shavuos is one day. So you'll have to... The Rebbe has to be in Yerushalayim. But Pesach and Sukkot is long. So you can visit Yerushalayim one day and the Rebbe another. So the... If you take this klal of the Nadi Yehuda, so it would appear that the Isha HaShunam is Mr. Shunam. Her husband told her, why are you going to visit the Rebbe? So it would appear that there is an Indian to visit the Rebbe not only on Sholosh Regolim, but to visit the Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh as well. Why? Apparently there is an Indian to visit the Beis HaMikdash, to visit the Shechina, not only on Sholosh Regolim, but to visit on Rosh Chodeshim as well. We never found such a mitzvah. There is no chiyuv. True, there is no obligation, but there is a mitzvah sarashus. If one would be Ola Regel on Tu Bishvat or on Chanukah and Purim, there wouldn't be a Kiyama mitzvah at all. But if one would be Ola Regel on Rosh Chodeshim, there would be a partial Kiyama mitzvah. So the Medrash tells us that Lasi Lavoi, the Jewish people will be consoled. You were crying all the years that you didn't have the opportunity to be Ola Regel on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. So make up for it now. Seize that opportunity that you always had, the Zman Shabbos Beis HaMikdash, the Zman Bayis Rishon, the Zman Bayis Sheni. There was always an optional mitzvah being Ola Regel on Rosh Chodesh. So now seize the opportunity and be Ola Regel every Rosh Chodesh.
Were women obligated to?
No. The women were never obligated
to
be.
Why was she going and not him?
That's what her husband said. Today is not Rosh Chodesh and today is not Yom Tov. That's what he said. What's she going for? And she didn't want to say that the baby died, that she
no,
wanted to... Right. The women... Pesach Shavuot Sukkot is also the women went. The practice, all the women went. But strictly speaking, are they obligated to go? No? Like the women are not obligated to sit in Sukkot either. But do they sit in Sukkot? Most of the women do sit in Sukkot. Most of the women do Ben Shestri. Most of the women do listen to the Tekis, even though they're not obligated to. So here also, the actual obligation of Aliyah Regel is only on the men. The Roy calls the Churchum. The women are not obligated. But certainly the women used to volunteer to visit the Beis HaMikdash, to fulfill this mitzvah of Aliyah Regel. It's interesting, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells a story that Eliyahu Novi, strange story, Eliyahu Novi used to always visit the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and learn with the Talmidim. So once on Rosh Chodesh he came late. So when he came, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi asked him, how come he came late? So he said, every Rosh Chodesh has to go to Moros HaMachpelah, and he has to get up the Ovois, he has to wake up Avraham Avinu, wash his hands, Negel Vasa, and daven with him, and put him back to sleep. He has to wake up Yitzchak, wash Negel Vasa, wash his hands, because the Maharsho explains, Sadikim Yimisosam Kurim Chayim, that a Tzadik, even when he's dead, is considered as if he's alive, not that he's dead. So when you bring him back to life, it's as if he's waking up in the morning, and you wash his hands like we wash our hands when we wake up. That's what the Gemara seems to be implying. And he wakes up Yankov Avinu, washes his hands, he davens with him, and he puts him back to sleep. And that day, he had a daven with Avram, Yitzchak Yankov, Avram Shchodesh, and it took so long, that's why he's late. So Rebbe asks him, why couldn't you wake them all up at the same time? Daven once with everybody. So he said, no, if they'll all daven at the same time, they'll daven that the Rebbe Shalom should bring Mashiach, and I'll have to bring Mashiach, and the Rebbe Shalom doesn't want. So that's why the Rebbe Shalom doesn't want me to wake up all three at the same time. And since they don't all daven together, when you daven the tzibur, everybody all together, so the tefillah stand a better chance of being answered. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't want to bring Mashiach yet, so he told me I should only wake up Avram separately, Yitzchak separately, and Yankov separately. So the Maharsho comments on that Gemara. What kind of an Indian is this? That the Gemara has it's a strange story. We don't know what Pshat is. But something we can derive from the story, so the Maharsho says it would appear from the Gemara that there is an Indian of Aliyah L'Regel on every Jewish person on Rosh Chodesh. And even the Neshamas of the Niftarim, of the Tzadikim, of Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov, who are no longer alive, they also have an Aliyah L'Regel. All month long, they don't daven in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Rosh Chodesh, they daven. And the Maharsho quotes this passage, "V'hai midei chodesh v'chodesh midei shabbos v'shabbat v'yovel kol boshel v'shtachlus v'fonai." So he derives from that passage that there seems to be an institution of Aliyah L'Regel on Rosh Chodeshim. So that's what the Medrash says at Lossi Lavoi. We will all seize that opportunity and make up for all of the Aliyah L'Regel that we missed, all of the years of the Golus, in being Aliyah L'Regel on the Rosh Chodeshim. These are the 11 aspects of Pi Haloch and Al Pi Minig that we observe on Rosh Chodeshim.
Ladies and gentlemen.